Thank you, Lord, for Janet, who is here this morning to speak to us of your holiness with a servant heart. We ask that you will open our ears and our hearts to listen intently to what you have to say, Lord, through her message. Bless her and uphold her with your Holy Spirit as we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brian. Well, hello, everyone. It's good to see you all again. I had a wonderful time away in Leigh Abbey. Maya was there too. I put some pictures on the midweek letter, which came out this morning. If you're not on email, ask me and I'll let you have a hard copy of that. But it was really relaxing. So thanks for remembering me there. We come today to the last in the series on holiness. We have been thinking about what does it mean to be a community, a people that are holy. We learnt that holy comes from the Greek word hagios, meaning set apart, separate, distinct. We thought about that concave holiness where people come in, sort of bend inwards and say, oh, Christians don't do that, we don't do that, we don't do that, and like shy away. And then we thought about the convex holiness, that reaching out towards people, the holiness that reaches out into the world. Paul, I think, talked about dirty glory, that idea that when Jesus touched people, he made them clean. Jesus touched lepers, prostitutes, sinners. He made them clean instead of them making him unclean. The call to holiness, the call to be a holy community. Yes, that each one of us individually is called to holiness or Christ-likeness, but also as a church community, that call to be holy. We had the Apostles' Creed earlier, and towards the end of the Apostles' Creed, we said together, we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. A statement of faith, what we believe in. We're called to be one, united together with diverse brothers and sisters, but we share the same God as our Father. We're called to be holy, distinct, different. The Catholic with a small c, this idea of the church community being universal right across nations and times, and apostolic, following what the apostles themselves taught. But how is the church seen by people outside? If I went out today into Clifton Village and said, what do you think of the church? What do people think? They might say the church is unnecessary or irrelevant or out of date or they're all holier than thou. We're called to be holy. In the second century, there was a church father called Irenaeus, and he said, the church is planted like the paradise of Eden in the world. The church is like the paradise of the Garden of Eden planted in the world. As I mentioned, when I was at Leigh Abbey, they call it a thin place. And they sort of meant by that a place where heaven seems very close, almost to be touching earth, where God seems very close, not far away. It was part of just the beauty of the place. It is so beautiful there, like the paradise of the Garden of Eden. When people walk into Christchurch, is it like getting a little taste of paradise when they walk in here, of the Garden of Eden? You may remember as part of our vision here at Christchurch, we exist for the heavenly transformation of people and culture in Bristol. So let's look now at our reading for today, 1 Peter chapter 2. It's on the little yellow inserts, so you can follow it there. Peter, the writer, is reminding the church community of four things. He's reminding us of our status. Verse 9, you are, you plural, you, the church, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Four things. We are chosen, a chosen people. God chose us. Nothing to do with ourselves, our status, nothing at all. God chose. He elected us. a royal priesthood, able to worship him, serve him, a holy nation, holy, distinct, separate. And I love that last bit, God's special possession. I don't know if any of you were ever told by your parents, you're really special. That's nice, isn't it? Special possession. Why? It says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Out of darkness into his wonderful light. The moment we're in Holy Week, it's called Holy Week. It's the week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And in some ways, it's a somber, holy time when we are building up, we're reflecting on the story of the Passion, of Jesus moving inexorably towards Jerusalem, towards his death on Friday, on Good Friday, often seen as a time of darkness. Churches are often quite bare, particularly during this Holy Week. And then we get to Easter Day, and suddenly we move into light. Before dark, into light. And that's what it says here. God called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So the church is called to be God's chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession. It is not a religious association. We are not a religious association. We're a people. We're simply a group of people gathered together to worship, and then we're scattered to go and serve wherever we live. We're gathered to praise God together, bound together in community, and then we're sent out, we're scattered to live in our own homes, in our own neighborhoods. We are the people of God here in Bristol. God has placed us here. So let's move on and look at verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, agapetos is the Greek word. It means beloved. Again, a lovely phrase. I urge you, Peter writes, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans. Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Therefore, so, since, as God's chosen people, live godly, holy lives. In my Bible, the title says, Living Godly Lives in a Pagan Society. We're called to be foreigners or exiles or aliens or like transients in this world. You hear that phrase, don't you? Live in the world, but not of the world. We are just a passing through. Does anyone know that old spiritual? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's that tension we live in. We live in the world, but we don't belong. We are a passing through. We're called, if you like, to be like a foreigner or an exile. I don't know if you've ever lived abroad. Some of you may have come from somewhere else, and you're now living here in Bristol. When I was growing up, my parents were missionaries, and we grew up in what was Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and then Zambia. And I can remember my mum and dad lived differently from a lot of the other white expatriate people living over there, who often had quite colonial attitudes, shall we say. And I can just remember growing up, you know, mum and dad would treat people differently. They wouldn't necessarily have employed servants, or the way that my father learnt the local language Shona so that he could speak with people. And I can remember some of the other sort of rich white colonials would say, why are you bothering to learn the language? It's so easy to adopt different attitudes, but they stayed distinct in the way that they were with people. I was thinking about how you go and live in a place, and do you pick up the accent or not? And if you're a bit older when you move there, you don't always pick up the accent. So we left Africa and we moved to Birmingham when I was 13, but nobody thinks I'm a Brummie, because I don't sound like a Brummie. It's something about you're living in a place, but you don't have to become the same as the place where you are living, adopting what you see all around. And I look around the world at the moment, and it's actually quite depressing. Sometimes I think, does everybody cheat, or does everybody lie, or does everyone just break the speed limit? Does everybody lie to the HMRC? Does everyone think, oh, a white lie doesn't really matter? Does everyone think, oh, I'll just sleep around, be promiscuous? It doesn't really matter. It does matter. We're called to abstain from sinful desires. Abstain. Abstaining is not a really popular word, is it? But we talk about abstaining from alcohol when we talk about a teetotaler. But it's wider than that. Abstain from sinful desires. Paul also in his epistles sort of expands this. He says in Colossians 3, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. We're called to abstain from sinful desires. Apparently, so I'm told, porn is really, really widespread, and there are people just hooked on that. Or you may sit here smugly thinking, well, I don't go to any strip clubs. But porn can infiltrate the books, the TV, the films we watch. Sue Headlam and I always used to have a laugh that she knew I was quite sensitive and we'd never, ever go and watch a film that was an 18 or even a 15 often there. But again, going back to Colossians 3, there are other things to abstain from. It says, rid yourself of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Don't lie to each other. So just when you're thinking, oh, I'm okay, you read that list and I go, oh dear, I need to abstain. Self-control is vital. We need that fruit of the Spirit in us. So God created food, drink, sex. They were all appropriate in the right time and the right place. But we're told to abstain from sinful desires. And then we finish off our 1 Peter 2 with verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us, the second coming. People notice the life you lead. And I've seen this with my neighbours who don't necessarily follow Christ. They notice how I react to things. They notice if you swear or if you don't swear. They notice if you keep your temper. They notice if you gossip a lot about people or don't. They notice when you show grace or when you show kindness. Yes, we may still be criticised for doing wrong, but people see your good deeds. And God sees what we do. We're called to be salt and light. So as I finish, let's just reflect on what that means. We're called to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. Salty people are different. They just add a bit of taste and flavor. Things seem better when you have a bit of salt on your food. Light. Things are better when light is shining in darkness. And I often imagine us as like a little bit of light shining in my particular street, in my house. Faith matters, yes, but our actions matter too. Our faith is seen in our actions. So let's reflect now. What does it mean to be a holy community? How can our midweek gathering be holy, distinct, separate? We gather together to worship and praise, but then we're scattered back out into our own homes, our own streets, our own neighborhoods to be salt and light. How can we live in the world but not be of the world? Let's be quiet and reflect, and then I'll pray, and then Mark will lead us in our last hymn. Heavenly Father, show us what it means to be holy, to live holy, distinct lives, and help us as a midweek gathering to be a holy community. Help each one of us, Lord, to be salt and light in the places where you have put us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, our final hymn, good one for Good Friday and for Holy Week. Thanks, Mark, for choosing it, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. If you're able to stand, please stand. Otherwise, stay seated.